we're going to take a minute here and just stay in this atmosphere of just worship and sensitivity to the Lord. And I feel like before we end tonight, we have to do just a little bit of teaching. You can be seated if you need to, but just stay there in that worship. And here's what I sense in the Spirit too. And Sarah was very responsive to what I believe the Spirit was leading. And you know, at some point when God speaks, let me just say it this way, Mikey. God's a big God, and even though He loves you, and even though He loves me, do you realize that when He speaks to me, a lot of times He doesn't just speak about me? I'm really not that big of a deal in the world. That there's actually, you're in the world too, and sometimes God speaks to me about you. I know, it's crazy. But you know, here's the funny thing is too, Mikey, I believe that when God speaks to you, He has more than just you as a topic. He has me as a topic that He'll speak to you. Oh, it's just great. And okay, so let me talk to you as a parent. Do you realize that your children are not the only kids He's going to talk to you about? There are other parents with children in the world. Do you wonder if God would ever speak to you about those kids? Let's make it about a universal thing. Gary, I know that you are pretty perfect and without flaw. So this probably doesn't apply to you. But let's just say, if you had a problem, do you realize that when God speaks to you, He might not just talk about your problem. He might actually talk about Carrie. She's got lots. So, no, tease it. Do you get the picture here? Do you realize that when God speaks, you're not all He's going to talk to you about? Can we just pause and say, thank you, God? Thank you, God. Because I am bored with me. I don't need more about me and my problems and my concerns and my stuff and my issues and my... Thank the Lord that there are bigger fish to fry than this lamb. That was a real mix of metaphors. You know what I mean? And so like when the Lord begins to stir in someone's heart, let's pray for the lost. Do you realize that in some people's world, the Lord's never spoken to them about that yet? Never really heard that yet. They're not hearing that. A lot of times we don't hear what God is speaking because we are not listening. We're still only listening about us and our problems and our concerns. He's not speaking about that. I don't know about you. That's actually exciting. It really is. And now this is when evangelism begins to have seeds. See, when God begins to speak, there's a calling, a mandate, a directive to it. It's an instruction. This is where vision and meaning take place in the presence of the Lord. You are not the meaning of your life. If you're seeking in God's presence to find meaning in worship by Him speaking to you about you, you will never be satisfied. There isn't going to be enough worship in this earth to make you feel good anymore. You will just feel miserable. It's a selfless, pointless, yucky endeavor. But if you open up your ears and listen to the Spirit of God speaking about what He wants to talk to you about, you might just find purpose. You might just find meaning in life. And you might just find some direction, and God might speak to you to do something that actually requires you to exercise a thing called faith, to step out of your boat, so to speak, your comfort zone. How many of you have a comfort zone? How many of you know your comfort zone's right here around you? It's called your chair, you know, whatever it is. You know, and sometimes it's just that in a service. Sometimes it's something else. But our comfort zone, God wants to speak, and it's usually he's got something he wants to talk to you about that's over here, not right here. And if you listen to it, it will take you someplace you may never have thought you should go, but if you're listening, he'll tell you to go there. And then he'll tell you what to do when you get there. And he'll tell you what to say when you're supposed to say. And all these things. And it's all challenging and scary. Which is why you have to keep listening, because he's going to comfort you. And he's also going to give you wisdom that will give you, I don't know, something to break through. It's just awesome. And it'll give you insight. That's very, very powerful. So how do we practice this? Here's what I believe we have to do. We have to, in moments like this, expect God to speak to us, and here's how we begin to recognize it. The language of God in these moments is very familiar to you. I want you to hear this. Maybe somebody needs to write this down. I'm going to pop a bubble here. The language of God starts in your life something familiar. Why? Because he knows how simple-minded we are. It is really a deceptive ploy of the enemy to twist the way God works. And he'll suggest to you, well, if it's really God speaking, it'll be in a fiery bush. Something you've never, ever experienced before. So profound that it has to be. No, it's not that. It's not that. It really starts out as a young Samuel going, is that Eli? Is that you? No, I didn't say nothing. Go back to bed. Eli, is that you? No, how many times I got to tell you it's not me, but I heard your voice. Is it a, go back to bed. Third time. Do you know this story? Third time. Eli, is it, what do you want? What do you want? This is a little boy who is going to be the last judge of Israel. And he's going to put into place the first king of Israel and oversee so much. This man was a very pivotal man. He had to hear the voice of God. How did he learn the voice of God? Started out familiar. I don't want you to be deceived, church. Do not be deceived, young person. You don't need a,
I am God. Caleb, stand up and speak the word of the Lord.
If you're waiting for that, you will never hear it. It often sounds like your dad, your mom. Hey, Caleb, would you clean your room? You know, hey, Caleb, would you? You know, it starts out with simple, familiar things. It's, and a lot of times, it's really just an idea that pops in your head. Oh, man, I really should go over there and encourage that person. And you go, well, that's just my head. This is my head. I don't think it's probably not God. You're right. The devil is actually speaking to you to go and encourage Rebecca. That's really what he does. He's thinking, what can I do today to destroy people's lives? I'm going to tell them to encourage one another. It says, it sounds stupid, doesn't it? When you think about it like that, but that is, this is the way God has intended to teach us how to hear his voice. Starts familiar. It's your conscience that is awakened by the Spirit of God. You're his sheep. That means the minute you became his sheep, your mind has now become the property of the Most High. It may not be trained fully yet, but I'll tell you, wherever you started, the Holy Spirit is in you, sealing you for that day of redemption, and that Holy Spirit is going to be speaking things to you. And I don't care if you think like an engineer or if you think like an artist, he will use whatever terms are familiar to you. He'll speak to Melanie in terms of buildings because she thinks like buildings and arts. He'll speak to, you don't even need to know how he speaks to me. It's going to be like abstract. I don't know what it is. But however your language is, he begins to teach you how to follow his voice and speaks to you in those ways. It's very powerful. But as you learn and discern by both the Spirit and the Word, you gain an attentiveness to the Spirit of the Lord. You're training your conscience to discern what is right and wrong and what the Spirit of the Lord is and what the spirit of something else might be. You train yourself. This takes practice, right? So, do you think God is evil? No. So he's going to make it easy for you and I. He is not going to set you up to look stupid. He is actually going to encourage him speaking in your life and you responding. He's going to make it easy. He says, trust me, if I want to have you talk, I'm going to fill that mouth with the right words. And so he's like, don't stress. A lot of Christians never act on the voice of the Lord because they're afraid, because they mistrust God's character. Do I need to say it again one more time? A lot of Christians fail to act on the voice of the Lord, which that really just hardens our hearts. We stop hearing him. We ignore him. But a lot of Christians fail to act on the voice of the Lord because they're afraid. That is really just mistrust. We don't believe his character is good. We think he's a charlatan and he's going to trick us. Has God ever tricked you? No. Have you tricked you? Yep. I've tricked me. His heart is deceptive. He doesn't even know his own heart. So his own heart's going to lead him astray. But God will never lead him astray. Same thing with me. So God is not a trickster. So we grow by learning the voice of the Lord, and it starts out familiar. In this worship time, you may have already had thoughts. I bet you Sarah, when she first felt, oh, this is a thought, it probably came in the sound. It sounded like her own internal voice. She's even saying, yep, that's really what it was. It didn't sound like Pastor Vin's voice. If it did, that's probably a psychological problem. Mm-hmm. Make sense? But it sounded like her own voice. Now, I'm just going to guess, because she's a mature Christian, here's what happens. The minute that thought comes, the very first thing that starts to happen is the testing of it. The testing of it. Does that sound like the Bible? Does it sound like, here's the first question. Does it sound like it's edifying and loving? That's the first real test to it. If it's edifying and loving, if it builds up, then yeah, it's probably a good God thought. The devil never builds up and edifies. He never does. He only destroys and confuses, but God builds up and edifies. So that's the first thing that we ask ourselves. Is this loving and does it edify? But then there's other things that we ask ourselves. As we're sitting there, is there a spiritual principle here in the Bible? Is there some verse in the Bible that this is really that I'm thinking of? Is there something in response to the Bible that I'm actually, this is where it's all tied in? It's amazing, but the thoughts of God are encapsulated in the Bible. And so when he speaks, it never contradicts this. And so when your own mind has a thought that pops in it, and you're asking yourself, is this edifying? Is this real? Is this loving? Is this, you know, wise and all that kind of stuff? And then you go, well, wait a minute, does this line up with the Bible? And maybe you don't know. Well, ask. Ask Trisha. Ask Sarah. Ask me. Ask somebody else. Hey, I'm getting this. Is this biblical? It's okay to ask. And that helps you understand and learn discernment of the voice of the Lord, right? Praise God. Oh, man. Well, here's what the Holy Spirit often speaks. In Scripture, we see this. We see that the Spirit of God will speak conviction in three areas. This is what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit of God will speak to us about sin and the need of repentance. Anybody ever felt that? Just raise your hand. Amen. That's awesome. Now, God's Spirit doesn't condemn us in our sin. That's our own earthly carnal mind. See, condemnation is judgment without redemption, right? It's this sense of you're judged and there's no chance of ever getting out. If you feel that, that's not the Spirit of God. And I'll just tell you this. We were at one conference one time, and this word of the Lord came up. And this was in Kansas City. And a man stood up, and he said he was mad. That's probably a good fruit of the Spirit, mad. And he stood up mad, and he said, thus saith the Lord, I write Michelob over your door. He was misquoting Scripture. He wanted to say, I write Ichabod over the door. He said Michelob instead. So he just confused Scripture all together, or said the wrong thing. And I look at that, and it was just judgment and condemnation. That's all it was. judgment and condemnation. Now, in other situations, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak and sin was called out. I remember in one service, the word of knowledge came. The speaker tapped two people in the audience and said, "You need to stand up." And he said, "You're living in sin and in adultery right now. The woman you're living with is not your wife, and everyone needs to know it right now." And he exposes the sin right there. You'd think that's horrible, right? Well, it is horrible. Nobody needs that sin exposed like that. And he says, "And your wife is in the church too." This was a congregation of about, 5,000 people. And he says, "And your wife is in the church also." And then no one's raising their hand. He says, "You're over here. There you are." And then he calls her up and he says, "Both of you need to come down." He says, "What they've both sinned and what they've both done." And he goes, "And the Lord has called you out so that you can both confess your sins one to another. It's all been exposed. You need to repent of it and you need to take her back and you need to take him back." That all happened in a service. I'm telling you, what would you do in that service? There would be an increase of the fear of the Lord, a reverence of the Lord, wouldn't there? "Don't you tell anybody about my stuff, Jesus." That's what you would be thinking. But see, the Spirit of God speaks not to condemn you in your sin, but to bring freedom where Satan has bound you. So he'll reveal things, but not to make a fool of you or to embarrass you, to just condemn you. But he will heal you. And that's powerful. And that is very powerful. And so that's what the Spirit of God, it will convict of sin for the point of turning. Now, it will also convict you of righteousness. Now, this is the way Christ said this, is he says, "Because I will not be with you always." Do you realize that the Spirit of God convicts you of a righteous standard? You and I have not met Jesus in the flesh yet. Have we? No. And yet we're called here specifically the visible church, aren't we? So how in the world are we to know what the visible body of Christ is supposed to look like, act like, or any of that, except that the Holy Spirit convicts us of it? That just means a strong persuasion. The Holy Spirit will say, "This is how Christ would act right now. This is what righteousness looks like." We don't know unless the Holy Spirit impresses it on our hearts. Has any of you ever been convicted of a righteous standard? You felt, "This isn't very Christ-like right now. I think I should change the way I act," and stuff like that. Have you ever felt that shift or that changed? Sometimes it's just simply what you used to be comfortable with, all of a sudden you're no longer comfortable with. And there's no other explanation for it than it just doesn't feel Christ-like anymore. Whoops. And now I feel embarrassed that I ever felt good about that. For me, it's most of Adam Sandler's movies. I know, we talked about Adam Sandler, I know. I love certain stupid humor, but then there's times where I'm going, "I can no longer enjoy this. Ah, something changed." That's the Holy Spirit convicting of righteousness. Don't be surprised when the Spirit of God speaks to you in a service and something you used to be comfortable with, you're no longer comfortable with. That's the Spirit of God speaking. Anybody hear that ever? Less hands. Mikey's like, "I like Adam Sandler." So, but that's the Spirit of God speaking. Now, here's the other thing. The Spirit of God speaks concerning judgment. Now, this doesn't mean condemnation. I have to clarify. This means Christ's imminent return. Like what we sang, like a bride waiting for her groom. Do we realize that at any moment, Christ could break the heavens open and return? Those that are living in sin and rebelling against God would die in their sins. That's horrible. How do we know to evangelize? The Spirit of God stirs up a compassion for the lost in us. You have to love the lost. That doesn't come from Satan. He hates everybody. The love of the lost comes from the very heart of God, the Spirit of God. And that is the Holy Spirit speaking. You will begin at some point to hear the idea, "You should love that person." And that's not you. My grandpa hated black folk, But then he began to be refined by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God began to speak things. And it was so funny. When I was young, I would hear him say things and say bad words in love to other people because he didn't quite know the language yet. And it wasn't quite politically incorrect to say certain things. So he would actually reach out to neighbors who were of a different ethnicity and say derogatory things in affections of appreciation. Hey, blanky blank, I'm so glad you're my neighbor. Most people would go, you just what? And he was actually saying, I love you. And over time, he became more and more, what's the word? Appropriate, refined. But the Holy Spirit was teaching him to love people by nature. He was never trained to love. But the Holy Spirit began to speak him to love and change his ways. And you know what? God will speak to you. You will be taught by the Holy Spirit to love people by nature you've never loved before. And that's powerful. Two more things that the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and this is important to do. He will remind you of the Word of God. In times like this, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you may think of a scripture, and I'm telling you, you better write it down. You have no idea why the Lord might be speaking that to you in a service or in a time of worship. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking, write it down. That's listening to Him. He quickens in your heart verses, things in the Bible that you might have read. And the reason He does that is because that is life to you. If you don't hold on to that, you're losing life. It's like you're just dumping your water right out and you're in the middle of a desert. Keep that precious fluid. And so the Holy Spirit will quicken the Word of God to your heart and your mind. I love that. And then the last thing that I'll highlight in this whole section is this. He will instruct and direct you. He will teach you. He'll guide you into the things of the Lord. He really will. You do not guide yourself. You don't guide yourself. You are not your teacher. It is not in you the way you should go. What is in you is a way that seems right to you, but at the end of it, it leads to death. Which way do you want? You want your way or do you want God's way? Do you want your pseudo-Christian way or do you want God's way? Because we can mix and match all kinds of stuff, and at the end, it's still just as death as anything else. So the only answer is there's one way, that's God's way. He speaks it, He leads. You have to literally take off all sense of control and manipulation and let Him, the Holy Spirit, lead. That's powerful. You can't steer the ship, let Him. That's good. So in service times, here, Troy, come up here for a second. Anybody, you know, Bill leads worship for times, you know, Cheeky Poo over here leads worship time. You know, she might lead a song like that. Now, whoever's leading, you know, he's got the microphone and he's singing the song. He might be leading the song, but you know what? He's really not the leader. It's the Holy Spirit. Now he can tell the Holy Spirit to take the service and forget it. And I got my own way and I'm going to do it because I like it. But you know what? God leaves. Now He's the one that's filling the service. Or if it's me, I could just say, you know what? I've got my own agenda. Well, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He'll let me have my way. But the real choice is we have to be sensitive and yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So then He's got to keep His ears open. This is very practical. It really is. This is why I've told them as leaders, open up your eyes from time to time. You never know when when Carrie or someone else is waiting here for 20 minutes. I just have a word that I want to share. And if we, I know I'm not picking on anybody, but sometimes that's what blinding. We do. You know, it's like we're doing this. I don't see. And whatever it might be. And if we don't know how to yield to one another in a service, then literally we're limiting the Holy Spirit. And we're forcing people to be more demanding. And then it feels weird. It really does. So that's not listening to the Holy Spirit. That's being kind of brutish and rude. Have you ever met somebody like that where they might say truth, but they just do it in a way that comes across icky and offensive? Well, thank you for that truth. I hate you now, and I love the truth, but boy, you irritate me, and I just wish somebody else would say it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit in us, we work like that. We irritate him, and he still says what's supposed to be said, and at the end of it, we all have a distaste in our mouth, but we know God said something. And it's like, you know, there's times where I have done that, and I walk away going, man, that was not enjoyable, Lord. And he's saying to me, yeah, it shouldn't have been enjoyable. You made it miserable, son. And I go, and it's because I'm fighting him, not yielding to him. So you can't fight the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit, and he will instruct and lead you. So where does this end tonight? We're done, really, but we're going to sing one more song. What song are we going to sing?
Spirit of the Living God.
You guys are so awesome. I brought that song up here, and I was like, I like this song. And did you see her go, I don't know that one. Oh, wait, I do know that one. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. I called an audible, okay? That's horrible.
It took me a moment, but
I know. So here's what I want you to do. I really do sense that there may be an opportunity in just a couple minutes for you to share something with somebody else in this room. This is a very small baby step, okay? Very small baby step. And all I'm going to instruct you to do is this. I want you to be sensitive to what the word of the Lord might say to someone else in this room. I want you to put you away. So you are not allowed to use your own fears and insecurities as an excuse not to act, okay? I don't want you to be distracted by your doubts and your fears. What if I get it wrong? What if I say it wrong? Who cares? I'd rather you say it wrong than not say anything. Just say it. Say it in an attitude of love with the intention to build up. Whatever you do know, be willing to share it. That's it. Now, if you're saying to yourself, oh, Pastor Ben, I just don't do that. That's not me. Okay, you're right. It's not you. It's called the Holy Spirit through you. You don't need to be the answer. You just need to be the conduit. You just need to be obedient and share what the Lord might impress upon your heart. You don't have to be flowery. You don't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be 20 sentences. But what it does have to be is it has to be very sincere. You have to be sincerely open to the Lord. And just say what's on your heart. Say what the Lord impresses upon you. You got to do it in obedience. Now, there's one exception to this. If throughout this evening you have not repented of your sin and dealt with things that you know you should have dealt with, then do not do what I just instructed you to do. Because whatever you would hear is distorted at best. So if you haven't dealt with your own junk, don't speak and don't talk to someone. The other thing is if that's all those things, bitterness, unforgiveness, all that is, if you still have unresolved issues, don't go share that with anyone. But you know what? I don't care if you had a horrible day, if you dealt with it, that was the past. Truly, that was the past. Stand in faith that 1 John 1:9 means you are totally forgiven. Now, whatever the Holy Spirit impresses on you, be bold. You can even open up with, I may be weird and wrong in this, but this is what I feel. This is what I sense. And I just want to share that. And you can say, I love you. And I pray that that's encouraging to you. Here's the reason why we do this. Do you genuinely love your brother and sister in the Lord? Do you? Then God has ordained it that you're here tonight and your mouth is intended to be used to edify someone else in this room. Amen. Now, let's yield. Yield to the Spirit of God. How does that feel? I want you to think about that for a second. I want you to be open to God. I want you to be open to God. And it may be quick, but it may take a little while. But you maintain your focus on being open to the Lord. Just love on the Lord. He loves every single person in this room. He really does. He loves every person in this room more than you and I could ever love him. He just is so loving, and he wants to encourage and build up and edify. He may even want to tear down some junk so that he can build up the right stuff. He may want to instruct. You might get a word of knowledge and instruction. You might have a word picture or something where the Lord begins to reveal something that no one else could have revealed, only God. So God may include that to someone else, and then there's one other thing that he may reveal. He may reveal something that's not just to a specific person. He may reveal something to you for all of us. Amen? Maybe something for everyone. So let's be open. Let's just, you find a moment here as we worship. And we'll give time. If there's something in your heart and it's to a person in this room, go find them when it's appropriate. Go find them. Share that with them. Love on them. Pray and be done with it. If it's something for the congregation, come and stand up here so that we know. And then we'll, at the right time, we'll let you share that with the congregation. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.